Scripture reading this morning is in your hymnal, in the back, 7:30. And I'm going to read a scripture, and then you're going to read the next one in the congregation is going to read the next one in the darker print. Does everybody got that?
Nice.
Got it? This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. The word of the Lord.
I bring a message today from Charlene Meixner. Some have signed cards to Charlene, where she is currently incarcerated at the Department of Corrections in Wilsonville. And she sent a couple of different cards to the church, and I'm holding it up right here. Thanking everyone who signed the cards to her. She names many of you who signed the cards. And she just sends her greetings and her thanks, and I relay this message to the church from her. Amen. So we appreciate the ministry that you have, and you don't realize how much it means to someone in her case. Greetings from Charlene. We have had a celebration already today. It's wonderful to have so many children in the church. And I always like to, whenever we have a children's event, I invite all the children in the church, ages 2 to 92, because we're all children of God. And we always like to support our young people. And so we want to continue to welcome our young people and provide a spiritual home for young people here in the Brookings Church. We actually will have today a rehearsal for any of the children that would like to stay. And after our potluck, right after our potluck, we're going to be teaching some songs to the children in the classroom just there downstairs to prepare for our special Kids Day in February. So I know that not all can stay for that, but even if we have only a couple, and we'll find another time that we'll be able to meet where more can come. But right after the potluck today, our first rehearsal for our children's Sabbath that takes place the first Sabbath of February. Celebrating Jesus. Celebrating Jesus. Have you ever wondered when was the very first celebration of the birth of Jesus? Now, you might say it was at the manger when he was born, or when the shepherds showed up, or a little bit later when the wise men showed up. But did you know that there is a celebration of Jesus' birth that happened before that, before any of those? And it was the time that Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth. It's in Luke chapter 1. Turn your Bibles there. Luke chapter 1, and it begins in verse 39. There were a few participants in this celebration. Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. Jesus wasn't even born yet, but he was on the way. He would be born in a short time, and we find that Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and there was a celebration. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. That was her cousin, and her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's husband Zechariah, you remember, who was the priest. Now, another participant in the celebration comes into the picture here. An unborn child who was the most interesting participant in this celebration. Verse 40. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. 41. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe, this is John the Baptist, not yet born, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. But you have here this unborn baby, John the Baptist, celebrating Jesus to be born. A very interesting celebration. And suddenly there's a bursting forth of blessing and praise. You remember we were talking about how the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and every time in the Bible when it says the Holy Spirit is poured out on a person, there's an immediate verbal witness. And you'll find that every single time through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and this one is no exception. Notice what happens to Elizabeth. Verse 41, the last part, it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she went on with this wonderful blessing and praise for what was happening, what was going to happen. And then it mentions it again in verse 44 as she continues, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Holy Spirit and the birth of Jesus at the very first celebration of the birth that was about to take place, yet future, but not yet. We remember the celebration of Jesus that happened a short time later in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, where Jesus was born in the manger. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, you picture Joseph and Mary in the manger there. We picture the animals that were there. But I have a feeling that Joseph and Mary were not noticing the animals when Jesus was born. They were filled with the wonder. I remember when our children, all three of our children were born, I had a chance to be there every time. And I had this feeling like speechless. Like, what can I say? And it could last for a long time. A celebration unlike anything that you can experience in this world. Verse 7 of chapter 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Soon there were others joining in the celebration. You remember the shepherds that were out in the field. And in verse 10 and 11, the angel appears to them. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And then more angels joined in, and they had and sang the heavenly chorus, verse 14, a celebration song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, there have just been one celebration of this after another ever since. And every time believers get together, whether it's a church service like today or a Bible study around a kitchen table, in an evening, as people open their Bibles to learn more of the wonders of this Savior, or any other kind of gathering, every time believers come together, we celebrate the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the heavenly ministry and the soon coming of our Savior. And one of the reasons that we celebrate this from our hearts with such feeling and emotion, and we should feel that, I'm afraid sometimes we don't because we've gotten so used to it. How many sermons have been preached on these texts that we talk about today down through history? It would be countless. But we should feel in our hearts a deep feeling of emotion and love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ whenever we think of him and whenever we speak of him. But one of the reasons we should feel this is because of the way that Jesus Christ is able to take the bad things in this world, the sin and the evil of this world, the fallenness of this world, and turn it around and make something good out of this world. The worst thing that ever happened in the world, the biggest failure that the church ever committed in this world, do you know what it was? The biggest human failure was the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus. The worst thing that could have happened to the Savior, a crime, yes, but that very example of human failure and cruelty became salvation for the world. Could any great man or philosopher or teacher take the worst tragedy that has ever happened and turn it into something good? None but Jesus. Amen. What is the one thing that Jesus wants to continually draw our minds back to learn from and to celebrate and to trust in and to believe in and to wonder at, but the cross? And yet it was the worst mistake that the church ever made. God is able to take something very bad and turn it into something very good. This happened in a small way, again, for a short time. Many, many centuries later, you know what one of the most famous Christmas celebrations of modern times was? One of the most famous Christmas celebrations, known as the Christmas Truce of 1914. On the Western Front of World War I, there were soldiers from both sides of the war. And that front, of course, went for a long ways, but there were places where it was even less than 100 feet or so between the enemies who were hunkered down in their trenches. And on Christmas Eve, 1914, in the middle of a war, the British soldiers began to hear something in that cold night as they tried to keep their hands warm and their bodies warm, a hymn from soldiers on the other side. You're not used to hearing hymns. You're used to hearing bullets and bombs, but a hymn, Silent Night, in a different language, but they recognized the tune. And I can imagine the first one who heard it, listening, am I hearing things? And then listening a little more carefully, and he nudges his fellow soldier, listen. And pretty soon everyone is listening. And then when they finish Silent Night, the German soldiers sing another hymn that the British soldiers know. And this goes on throughout the night. And the next morning, one of the soldiers has the courage to get out of the trench, hold up his hands, and walk out into that open field, followed by another and another. And Time magazine says that there were nearly 100,000 soldiers that participated in the Christmas truce of 1914. They spent the day visiting, showing pictures of their families, and just enjoying a Christmas day together. It didn't last, as they had to go back to their trenches, and the silence reigned once again, and the war continued. The most famous Christmas of modern times. But I think of the words of the angels who sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace. Oh, that today the human family would recognize that song. The declaration then made, the note then struck, will swell to the close of time and resound to the ends of the earth. It will resound to the ends of the earth. And this prayer of the angels, this praise of the angels, is still being answered, and it's still resounding even today. I had the privilege earlier this week of visiting a group of people in Gold Beach who come from different churches in the town, and they gather for prayer twice a month to pray for the town of Gold Beach. And they've been praying for 3 years, twice a month. And I heard about their meeting. They told me about it at the soup kitchen up at Gold Beach Church, but they said, none of us have been able to attend the meeting, but it'd be great if somebody would. And so I went, and I walked into the Farmers Insurance on Tuesday night. That's where the group meets, and they do that on purpose so that they won't meet in a church, so that nobody will be discouraged to come because it's not their church, you know. And, of course, I was a total stranger, and I introduced myself, and they were very friendly, very gracious in welcoming me. They prayed. After singing a few songs, they prayed for about an hour. And one particularly earnest prayer for the Gold Beach Seventh-day Adventist Church, that the Lord would bless the church. And mind you, these folks are from other churches in the town. The Lord is answering prayers for Gold Beach. In the two Sabbaths that we've been there, we've been very happy to see that a number of folks who have come to church that have not been there for some time. And it was more people than I expected. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men and glory to God. When we believe in Jesus Christ and celebrate Him, it brings glory to God, and it brings peace to us. I have an example of another one. You keep going north, go north from Gold Beach up to Alaska. This one was in the Gleaner. Some of you may have read it. I've mentioned a number sometime back, the number 950. Does anybody remember why I said the number 950? 950, anybody remember? The number of languages. Okay, Peggy's got it. All right. 950 is the number of languages that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has literature or a preacher. In some cases, maybe only one preacher and maybe only one piece of literature, but at least that. 950 languages in the world. That's a wonderful evidence of the prayer of the angels being fulfilled, resounding to the end of the earth. And one of those languages is the Yupik language in Alaska. The article says that in 1959, some missionaries went to this particular village, and they learned the language of the Eskimos there. There was no written language. There was no dictionary. They had to make their own after living with the people and listening. Missionaries from the Wycliffe Bible Translators. And of course, when a project like this gets started, it takes up to 10, 12, 15 years before they are able to get a New Testament finished, when you have to start like that with nothing else. And the New Testament was finished, but recently a development, another organization that specializes in making audio Bibles, so they will go in and get someone who speaks that language where it's their native language, not a missionary who would speak it with a huge accent, but a native speaker that can read the New Testament onto recordings and make an audio Bible for the people to listen to. And this was recently finished in the Yupik language. Well, you can imagine that there were celebrations. There were multiple celebrations, and the Seventh-day Adventists in that area, where this happened, there are Seventh-day Adventist churches and other churches as well. And these celebrations were hosted, and the Seventh-day Adventists who participated with the other Christians in that area are listed and named in the article here on page 15 in the Gleaner. On earth, peace, goodwill to all people. This is good news that will be to all people, as the angel said. People brought together to celebrate the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to celebrate Jesus as we do at the beginning, at the end of this year, as we have this opportunity at the end of every year. And I always look forward to Christmas because there are opportunities that you have to share your faith that you don't have at any other time of the year. In our family, we've enjoyed going around to our neighbors for a number of years, learning some Christmas hymns and going and singing carols to our neighbors. And if we tried to do that in July or some other time, you know, people would think something's wrong with us. But you can do that at Christmas time, and people will listen. And we've had people invite us into their homes. And one of our neighbors, where we lived in West Virginia, he was always nice enough to wave when he went by, but we never had a chance to sit down and visit with him until the night that we went and sang for them at their home. They invited us in, and we talked for like an hour. So it does open up opportunities. You will have opportunity to celebrate Jesus at this holiday time in a unique way that is special to you because of the unique people that you know, each of you individually. And make sure that you take advantage of this opportunity and celebrate Jesus, the reason for the season. Amen. Uplift him. It will bring glory to God, and it will bring peace to your heart and to their hearts. We have another opportunity to celebrate Jesus in a couple of weeks, as we will celebrate communion here on the 29th. And communion is a very special time when we come together to remember Jesus, to serve each other in the foot washing. And this is a wonderful opportunity. And it's an opportunity even for visitors. And you know, the great evangelist John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, he would conduct communion services as evangelistic services and invite unbelievers to come. And when they would partake of the emblems, this was their opportunity to say, "Yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior also." As we think about communion, we know that we want to prepare our hearts. There may be some things that we need to do before communion. Maybe there's someone we need to talk to. Maybe there's something that we need to do, someone we need to call, something that we might need to make right with someone. it might be a good time to even plan ahead and ask someone that you could think of that you would like to be your partner in the foot washing. Ask them ahead of time. And if it's someone that you know might not show up, say, we're going to have communion in 2 weeks. Would you be my partner in the foot washing? And make sure that they will come. Maybe they need a ride. Offer to bring them. Communion is a very small piece of bread. It's just a little bit of juice. And it's not really a meal like we think of. But it is. And it is a foretaste. It is a foretaste of the heavenly feast soon to be shared with Jesus and all the saints in glory. Let us remember that celebration as it is coming up very soon. And it's a great opportunity for us to end the year and to begin a new year in the right way. I would like to close with the final celebration and the greatest ultimate celebration that's mentioned in Scripture, which will be the first one of many throughout eternity in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. No longer a few shepherds and Joseph and Mary at a manger. No longer a few wise men visiting at a house where no one else seems to care but just a very few people. But this time, a multitude. Revelation 7 describes it as a multitude so big that no one can number that multitude. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Is it a celebration? Yes. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I want to be a part of that celebration. That's the ultimate celebration. And I like the fact that it says that it's a number that no one can count. It's not just a few of the super saints of this world. But everyone can be saved who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and who walks on the path with Jesus. There's a beautiful statement in one of my favorite books. It says, tell it in words full of cheer. No one who perseveringly climbs the ladder will fail of gaining an entrance into the heavenly city. No one has to be left out. Everyone can be saved by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate Jesus this time of year and all year. Let us celebrate him in the words that we say. Let us celebrate him in the things that we do, in the way that we help one another, and in the way that we seek to bring others to him as we prepare for his soon return. Let us celebrate him now and always, is my prayer. Amen.
Sing song for Hark the Herald's Angel Sings, hymnal 122.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. In the manger born a King. While adoring angels sing. Peace on earth to men goodwill. Bid the trembling soul be still. Christ on earth has come to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and life to all He brings. Risen with Him in His wings. Mouth He lays His glory by. Born that man may more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
It's nice to hear you guys and imagine you, as the future angels, how it's going to sound.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.